So Father's Day, when you think of your father, what comes to mind? When you think about your days as a young person, who was your dad to you? Some of you may have had amazing fathers. Maybe some had fathers that were so busy you didn't see them, and maybe some grew up without a father. Father's Day brings all kinds of emotions and feelings. But it is amazing what God's Word has to say about fathers. And today specifically, I want to look at this point, and it's the fact that abundant blessings come from the Father. You see, fathers, we have a heavenly Father who always wants to pour out blessing and goodness on His kids, but also us as fathers, we are called to be abundantly blessing the next generations. So, how do we do that? And how are we doing? Now, yes, today is going to be a message directed a lot to the men and fathers, but it's good for all of us, and there is obviously scripture that pertains to men and women alike. So let's go for a minute into God's Word, and let's look at the amazing gift that fathers have to pour out on future generations. Genesis 12, verse 1, we read the story of Abraham. And it says, "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran." You see, at 75, he decided, because God told him, that he would leave everything he knew and start over, afresh, brand new, different location. And he went following God and didn't even know the final location. I mean, men, that's kind of like your wife saying, "Let's go on a trip," but you don't know where you're going. You just start driving. Those can be exciting trips or not. But anyhow, he is listening to God, and God is telling him, go, and so he does. And he was given a promise from God. You see, my first point about how do fathers abundantly bless their kids and the next generations, the first thing is we abundantly bless by being obedient, by serving God. You see, Abram was obedient, and the blessing would come because he chose to serve God. But did you know that the blessing that was spoken here didn't begin immediately? It took some time. In Genesis 21:5, it says that Abram was 100 years old when Isaac was born. That's 25 years of obedience before he saw the promise. That's a long time. Men, if I can say anything to you this morning, it's this. When you choose to serve God and be obedient, you choose to do it no matter what, and you continue. If you're only in this because, well, I'll serve God if. I'll serve God if he'll do what I want, you know, this year, this month. But if he doesn't, I don't know. That's not really serving God. You see, serving God obediently is something that you choose to do long term. You choose to do it faithfully for your life. And will God keep his end of the bargain? Yes, he will. But it might not be on your time schedule. I found that our time schedules are usually a little quicker than God's. We think we're ready before he does. We think we should get there right away. But God wants to work on you and I, and he wants to get us ready for the blessing. The young man who is sure that he's ready to be married, like now, and God knows he's not. Any men ever been there? There's nobody admitting it. I heard one, yep, but everybody else like, oh no. I was ready when I was 18. I thought I was ready to be married when I was 18. Apparently God didn't, because I got married when I was 26. There was some time I needed to get ready. But you see, God keeps his end of the bargain. And men, if you will continue to press in and serve and obey him, you will bring a blessing not only on yourself, but on your kids and on your kids' kids. There's a scripture that says that the righteous leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And that's just inheritance. But Abram was obedient, and that blessing would go from generation to generation to generation. But have you ever wondered how it must have felt to him? God, I left everything. I'm going on this journey. We're going through some tough stuff. There's people that don't like us. There's attacks coming. There's famines. They're digging and making wells. They're doing whatever's necessary. And God, the first part of your promise was you'll make me into a great nation. There's kind of one key thing that has to happen there. I need a son. Did you ever think that he might have thought, oh, 5 years has gone by, God, you didn't answer. I'm going back. I'm going back to the other place. You said, and it hasn't happened. Man, if God says it will happen, but you must continue. You must faithfully serve him if you want to see the blessing. This isn't a one-week thing. You see, serving God can be difficult at times, but the continuing in it is where you see the fruit. The longer you continue, the more blessings you will see. The longer you continue, the more goodness of God you'll see pour through you to others. Don't ever pray prayers like, well, God, if you answered this prayer by Saturday, then I'll go to church on Sunday. God's not really moved by prayers like that. Like, it worked on my dad. No, it didn't. As you mature in Christ, you realize, no, this is something I do because he asked me to. Men, when you step out, God moves in. And he is working behind the scenes immediately when you're obedient, but you may not see it on your time. Genesis 22, 17, God tells Abram again, I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants all the nations of earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. Fathers, do you realize you have the ability to change the future? You have the ability to change the future by how you bless your kids. You're like, well, I don't think I'm going to change nations. You know, I don't think I'm going to make a difference. What if one thing you teach your child, they speak to their friend, and their friend becomes somebody who changes nations? What if one of your kids does? Do you understand when you're faithful, it goes out in all directions and you don't even know? That young person that you were good to and it made a difference in their life, and they tell somebody else who tells somebody else. You have no idea, but I can guarantee you when you're obedient and you serve him faithfully, there's great things happening and you are affecting the next generations, even if you don't think so. When you have a business and people work for you, the way you treat them and how you act, you are affecting generations outside your own family. If you're a manager, the way you treat the people under you, you are affecting them, which affects their families. What people get paid and how they feel when they come home from work affects their families. When you're faithfully obedient to God in how you treat others, you're making a difference way outside of your family. You see, God doesn't lie, and he blessed Abraham, and he did give him a son, and that son had two boys, and those boys had a whole bunch of kids, which turned into nations. And you're like, well, what if God never gives me a child? Then who are you speaking to? Who are you affecting now that can affect many, many, many? You see, the way God wants to use your obedience may be different than he used for Abraham. Do not doubt him. If he said for you to take this path, take it and serve him obediently. I read a story about a couple who were believing for a child for years and years. And the young lady was in children's ministry at a large church. And she would tell people, yes, we're believing for children. And God can give children different ways. There's people who have adopted and God's blessed them with children that way. But they as a couple were believing, no, we really believe God's told us clearly we're going to have our own. And they just kept being obedient, serving God where they were. And this children's pastor, she pastored for 11 years and she was believing. And she told the senior pastor, she said, just so you know, I have raised somebody up so that when I'm expecting and when I have to take my leave, there'll be somebody here to look after. And the pastor was, oh, you guys are expecting now? Oh, we've been expecting for 11 years. We're expecting. I'm just telling you, we're making sure. And she kept being obedient and kept serving. It was another 7 years, and God gave them twins. You see, nothing's impossible. What are you expecting for? What are you believing for? But you see, she didn't just wait 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. She continued faithfully serving God, and so did her husband, faithfully serving where God put them. What is it you're believing for? Faithfully serve Him. He's not a liar. Faithfully serve Him, men. You see, never give up. Keep obeying, and the blessing will come. I have found this to be true. God's blessings come, and sometimes not where and how we think, but they come when you serve Him. Always guaranteed. You see, He said it in His Word in Deuteronomy. He said to His people, listen, if you follow my ways, I guarantee you that the blessing will overtake you. What does that mean? The blessing will chase you down. If you and I are in a race and I overtake you, that means I catch up to you and I pass you. The blessing wants to overtake you. Did you know that? In other words, you don't chase the blessing. You chase God and the blessing chases you. There's a big difference there, isn't there? You chase God and the blessing chases you. And it will overtake you. I love that picture. To me, that is just, that's amazing. You're running your race for God and the blessing's tapping you on the shoulder. Here you go. You need this. You're running your race for God. You're faithfully on the worship team. You're running sound. And everybody keeps looking back at you when it hums. And you're faithful. There was no hums today. This was awesome. You guys are an amazing team. You're faithfully playing bass. Oh, look, he's got his bass guitar again. You're faithfully playing bass. Our bass players and our musicians, they really know how to play. Faithful. Well, wouldn't it be easier just to sleep in, just take the weekend off? You know, our worship team, they come on Saturday like an hour and a half early to do practices. Then they're on the Saturday worship team, and they come back Sunday an hour earlier on the Sunday team. So when they come on the weekend, they're here. You see, the more you have to give and sacrifice to do what He said to be obedient, you can guarantee that He's going to pour out. So never doubt Him. Give it your all. You see, fathers abundantly bless the next generations by serving God and being obedient. Fathers also abundantly bless the next generations by being present for their children. By present, I mean they're there to teach, to train, and to be an example. Ephesians 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. In Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Fathers, you play an important role in raising up children. Not just moms. I know in our culture here, in Canada, often the man has to be busy working nonstop to pay the bills. But yet God designed it that He wanted us to also be spending time with our kids, being an example, helping with the teaching and the training. You know, we talked about Abraham and how God chose him to bring great blessing to the nations and to be the father of fathers who would eventually see Jesus born on this earth, who would bless all people for all eternity. Did you know there's a reason he chose Abraham? Abraham was called the friend of God. Abraham talked with God. Abraham heard from him, and he was called the friend of God. But God chose him for a reason, and I believe it's in this scripture in Genesis 18 and verse 19. It says, I know him, it's God talking about Abraham, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they will keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. In other words, God said, I'm going to choose Abraham because I know something about this man. He will teach his children to follow me. But he knew that he would not just ask them to, you know, be obedient by force. He would not just do forced obedience. You obey me or else. You do this, do that. These are the rules. He knew that Abraham would teach them, why do we do this? How come this pleases God? Why is this good for us? And he knew that Abraham would teach them in a way that they would teach their children to teach their children to teach their children for generations after generations. And he said, I'm choosing Abraham because of that. Because if he does that, I'll be able to bless all people through his generations. That blows me away. That Jesus being born and coming into this world hinged on a father being willing to train and teach his children. Dads, think about what is coming in the future by how you train your children. Because you see, if you don't teach them anything, if you're like, church doesn't matter. No, you don't have to come. There's no reason. They're definitely not going to bring their kids to church. And literally generations can suddenly turn from God simply because dads didn't care. Now it's okay. You're all here. This is good. You're here for a reason. You knew this is important. You see, dads, your kids watch you. They want to know from you, is this really important? Yes, moms play a nurturing role, and kids love their moms. And kids will come to church for mom just because they want mom to feel good. They don't want to disappoint mom. But when kids come to church for dad, it's because this must be important. If dad thinks it's important, I'm coming because this must matter. There's a different reason, and it's huge. You see, Noah was an example to his family. You know the story of Noah called of God to build a big boat. A really big boat. A boat that took him approximately 75 years to build. But Noah didn't build it alone. He had three sons who helped him. And their wives. 75 years, Noah raised up and spent time with his boys building a boat. And they believed that their dad had heard from God enough to give their lives to it. You need to know something. He obviously had a relationship with his boys, and he had obviously heard from God before this word came to build a boat. It wasn't, I don't serve God, I don't do anything, suddenly I have this dream, hey boys, we're going to build a boat, God told me so. His boys trusted that he knew how to hear from God, or they would have never done it. Do you understand that he came to them one morning and said, boys, God has shown me that it's going to rain and rain and rain, and this earth will be flooded. It didn't rain yet in those days. God had showed him something was going to come that had never been. And they believed him. Do your kids trust you that you could tell them and they would believe you? Have you enough relationship with your kids that they believe and trust you when you speak? Or do they just smile and nod? I know there's some great men in here. I know your kids love you. And I know you gave it your best, and some of you are giving it your best right now. And trust me, God is going to reward you for it. You see, Moses or Noah may not have been perfect, but Noah walked and talked with God, and Noah was obedient, and his kids followed along. They joined him in that boat, and their lives were saved. You see, for your kids to seriously serve God, they need to see you doing it. Talk is not enough. You also need to be an example. What does it look like? There's an article that says families, dads must be present. The family needs you. There's an article I'm going to read here from Focus on the Family. It says nearly 20 million children in America, that's almost 1 in 4, live without a father in the home. Sadly, children in this situation face unique challenges. Statistically, they're more likely to grow up with financial challenges and more likely to drop out of school. Boys from fatherless homes are more likely to be involved in a violent crime, and girls are more likely to become pregnant as a teenager in addition. Listen to these statistics. 71% of all high school dropouts come from homes with absent fathers. Fathers, your kids continue on if you're willing to encourage them. 85% of all youth in prison come from fatherless homes. What? 85%! Dad, you matter. 90% of all homeless and runaway children come from fatherless environments. 90%. Dad, when you're at home, when you set the tone for home, your kids also want to stay. And unfortunately, the last one is a horrible one, but 70% of teen suicides occur in homes where there isn't a dad. Fathers, you help set a foundation for your kids' self-esteem, for their well-being, for knowing who they are. You set it. Mom provides the nurturing and the love. Confidence and the knowing of who they are comes from Dad. And I know maybe you're here today. Maybe you're from a home that's broken, or you're here as a single mom. If you're here as a single mom, get your kids to church. Get them around others. Be part of a life group where there's solid men. I read this story. I read a lot, apparently, but I read another really great story on this topic, so let me share it with you. You see, God can do anything if you'll trust Him. And I read this story. It was about a young lady a number of years ago. And she got the news that her father had passed away and she was in another city. So she had to catch a plane to come back for the funeral. And while she was sitting in the airport, it just hit her and she broke down and she just began to sob in the airport. And all of a sudden from behind her, someone comes and puts their arms around her and says, "What's wrong? Are you okay?" And when she looked back, it was a famous actor, Kevin Costner. And he's saying, what's wrong? Are you okay?" And he stays to comfort her and ends up missing his plane. And he told her, "You know, the city you live in, I'm going to be doing a movie shoot there in a few weeks. Stop by and let me know how you're doing." And she stopped by she was driving to work and there was a huge traffic jam and she was like, "Oh, they said there's somebody shooting a movie. It's probably that one." But she thought, "I don't want to bother him. He probably just said that." Well, on the way home, it's still traffic jam. And she thought, "Well, I'm going to go and just say hello." The security guard, she said, "Well, he said to come tell him how he was doing." So she went. They showed her how everything worked. And while she was sitting there, one of the head guys that shoots his movie came and sat beside her. They started talking, got along. And within a year, they were married. How does that happen? Now, you could not pray for that. You could not line that up. Does God know where you need to be? Yeah, He does. There's nothing impossible for Him. He loves you. Maybe you're here today and you're like, "Yeah, but it seems like whenever a man comes into my life, somehow they run off like I chase them away." You know what that means? You need to work on some heart stuff, some inner stuff. Some pain and brokenness from past relationships, possibly. And here's how you do that. You meet with the pastor or you meet with the counselor and you work through stuff, through prayer and talking about it. These things don't just go away or get better because time passes. When they're not dealt with, they often get worse, not better. Okay? And honestly, even if past relationships, you know, 95% was the other person's fault, we still get hurt and wounded, and then we carry it, and it makes it really difficult to have a good, healthy relationship later. This was supposed to be for fathers. Now we're talking relationship. Boy, Pastor Dan, where are you going? Because you know what? I believe God has fathers here and fathers out there, and I see single men, I see single women, and I see kids going back and forth, and things seem like, you know what? I bet you God could put two people together still, and that could be an awesome home. You know what? God has opportunities for you. Join that life group and connect. And just be open to what God's doing and how He leads. I don't know why God's not letting me move off the topic. Maybe you're like, well, I'm going to be single forever. If that's what God's leading you to, go for it. But if deep in you're like, that's not what I want, I really know God wants me connected, then that's where He can lead you. Be your best self. And don't be afraid to be where you can connect. Don't sit alone all by yourself at the church. Go find that single guy and say, can I sit with you? No, okay, now I'm getting carried away. But anyhow, don't sit alone. Don't be afraid to talk out in the foyer. There's nobody here who's nasty. You know, if I could, I'd bring up the couples and ask them, how did you guys first meet? You'd be surprised by the answers you'd get. Well, we were just here and we started talking. You got to be somewhere and start talking. I guarantee you, every story, no matter how different or crazy, they were somewhere and they just started talking. Is that true? So you can't come to church, sit alone, and talk to nobody and be like, God, please bring me somebody. It's not going to work. I'm just being honest. Oh, boy. You pray, but you also have to take steps of faith. Lord, can I get off this topic? People are going to go way upset at me. Somebody really must have been praying this week. God, please, or else I wouldn't have been doing this. Are you like, well, I'm looking for someone perfect. Good luck. Somebody, which single person said that? Good luck. You know those romantic movies? There's a lot of fake stuff in there. Guys and girls on both sides, okay? Guys look at, you know, what they want is different how women look at it. You're just going by the TV. That's a lot of fake stuff, and it's a whole bunch of stuff packed into 1 hour. That's not real life. You ever watch one of those romantic movies, and, you know, they get together, and in a space of an hour and a half, they make two trips around the world. Do they eat out every day? You know, it's just so romantic. That's not possible in real life. In real life, you're going to have times when you sit there and nobody's talking. And when you got to pay bills so you can't even go to Edmonton. That's real life. But oh my goodness, you can get together and talk. That's where it starts. Somebody needed to hear that today. Okay. Men, let me pick on the men here a bit in relationship. I was kind of picking on the ladies a little bit. Men, did you know that men nowadays have been through some stuff too in relationship? Sometimes men are afraid to step into that full-time commitment because they've got two or three friends who tell them about, well, yeah, you know, I married someone, they left me and they took everything and now I work full-time just to pay somebody else's bills for kids I don't see. And they're just burned, they're upset. Now these guys are afraid to even try. This is real life in Canada. But man, I'm talking to you right now. You pray about it and you find that person and then you take that step. Trust God. If you're willing to do it right, you're willing to serve God in it, you find a woman wants to serve God with you, And then you make up your mind you can work through anything and you do it. Fathers, we abundantly bless the next generations also just with our words. Dads, I'm going to go quickly here because I'm watching the time, but your words really do matter. Your words can build up or your words can tear down, as Scripture says, and of course this is for anybody, but dads, let me focus on you today. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 15:4, kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. Dads, we need to use words that build our kids up. You know, it is easy in a moment of frustration and anger come from work and, oh, somebody's annoying you, and out come the words that can tear down. We need to make up our minds that we will be quiet in those moments and speak words that will encourage and build up. Because you see, even when your child has messed up or they've done it wrong, crushing words are not going to help the situation. They're not going to help them do better next time. They really won't. If you're here today and you had a father who used abusive words, you know it didn't make you want to do better. Maybe it made you more hurt, more angry, and more determined to do the opposite. So man, let's use our words to build up. Let's use our words to encourage our children, to speak life into them, even if they're not getting it right. Find the thing that they're gifted at and speak into it. Find something that they're doing well and speak into it. Because you see, children remember the words their fathers speak. And there are words spoken by fathers, and even some of you may have things that you remember your father said in a good way, or maybe not in a good way. Because you see, some words that fathers speak can be remembered for a lifetime. Of course, words like please clean your room are not remembered at all. But there are some words that some of you still remember. I pray they're good words, but maybe they weren't. If there were words spoken over you like you're so stupid, or you're going to amount to nothing, you know what? In the name of Jesus, we cancel those words. Those words were spoken in anger and frustration of a father who maybe had a lot of issues in their own life. And if you're a father and you're thinking, boy, I did that. I've spoken some horrible things over my kids. I got great news for you. There's this thing called forgiveness. And I have found out, kids, if you'll go to your kids and just apologize, they accept it immediately. Man, I'm sorry, I was in a really bad mood. I should not have done that. Kids, and maybe even you remember something your father said. I want you to forgive your father and try to have some feeling and understanding of what they might have been going through when they said those words. Maybe what they went through when they were a kid. Don't let it hold you down anymore. Be willing to forgive it, and hey, if you get time to chat about it, they probably have no remembering of it. And if they're a believer, they'll obviously ask you to forgive them. If they're not, they might laugh about it, but you chatted about it. Okay? Those things you got to let go. All right, keep moving here. See, the words you speak do matter. Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Jesus answered, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. So, the words you speak over your children, you speak what you want to see. You don't run them down or speak about the big problem. Speak about them moving forward. Here's just a little example. You catch your kids stealing, and you realize they've been stealing for a while. What do you do? How do you speak into that, dads? What's wrong with you? You're a thief. You're going to be a thief. You want to end up in jail? Well, that's the thing that might want to come out of you, but how does that help them move forward? That's not how you would speak it. You'd be like, hey, you can't steal. You need to understand there's consequences for that. And if you continue to steal, the consequences get worse and worse. But you're not going to be a thief. You're going to be mightily blessed. You're going to be someone that God uses so that you can give to poor people and people who have nothing and sometimes have to steal just to eat. But God has a destiny in you, so you never have to steal. because you're actually going to be someone who knows how to bring in abundance. Do you see the difference? You are now speaking to their destiny for something great rather than speaking some death words because they messed up. So fathers, you have great ability to do that. And I trust that you can figure it out. Maybe there's things in your past for your kids that you want to speak into now. Do it now. It's never too late. Even if your kids are grown and moved away, maybe you can think of a situation right now where, man, it would have been better to speak that. Do it now. Do it now. It's never too late. Do it now. Call them up and tell them, hey, I was in church and I felt I wanted to speak this over you. Because you mean something to me. You will blow them away. And your words have power. Fathers, abundantly bless the next generation. And I'm wrapping up now. They abundantly bless the next generation. Of course, I think this is the main thing, by helping them find and follow Jesus. You see, dads, your kids will definitely follow Jesus if you are the one who's instigating it and encouraging them. Did you know that young kids often see their dads as heroes? And then they become teenagers. Anyhow, they don't after that. But you were a hero before that. They look up to every word you say. Is there any teenagers here you think your dad is still a hero? You know what? Your dads are still pretty awesome. They're pretty important. And they have a lot on their plates. Take time and talk to them sometimes. Ask them questions. They're smarter than you think. They've been through stuff. Ask them questions. Talk to them. Like, oh, my dad doesn't know anything. Trust me, your dad does. Ask him those tough questions. Ask them about dating. Ask them about, if you're a young man, ask them about girls. See what they say. They'll be like, talk to your mom. Anyhow, dads, you can do this. All right, fathers, you abundantly bless when you help them find and follow Jesus. Matthew 28:19, and I don't need to read it. We read it all the time here. But it is the scripture about going out and making disciples of all nations. Fathers, the first disciples you should have should be your kids. If you save the world but leave your kids behind, that would be really, really not okay. And as pastors, of course, that is something we have to guard against all the time. It is so easy to put all our time into helping others find and follow Jesus and forget our kids. And I don't want to be guilty of that. You see, discipling our kids is the greatest and most important job of all. And when we help our children follow Christ, we set them up for a lifetime of blessing and an eternity in heaven. I heard a story. A pastor was holding meetings in a city, and this was back in the days when they would do week-long meetings. They still do some areas. And there was a young man there, about 13 years old, and at the beginning of those meetings, he had expressed that he wants to follow Jesus, but then he just decided, no, I don't. And the pastor went to him and he said, I noticed at the beginning you were like, yes, I want to follow Jesus, and now you said you absolutely don't. Why? And the young man said, well, my dad is a doctor and he's the smartest guy I know, and if he doesn't need Jesus, I definitely don't need Jesus. Well, that pastor was a pretty smart pastor, and he went and got a hold of dad, the doctor, and talked to him and said how important it was. And the last night of those meetings, the doctor showed up and he came and he said, I want to accept Jesus. And guess what? His son was right beside him and said, yeah, me too. You see, dads, your kids really look up to you, especially in this area. And if you're like, well, it's not for me, it'll definitely not be for your kids either. So you and I, dads, have an amazing ability to abundantly bless the next generation. The blessing today, of course, is this. Are you serving Christ? Have you asked him to come into your life? Have you made that decision that, yes, I will follow Jesus for my life? You see, that really is the most important thing. You see, God created us, and he wanted you and I to be in relationship with him. Unfortunately, Adam sinned. Sin came on all. That relationship was broken, but God said, I've got a plan, and I'm going to have my people be able to be in relationship with me again, for sin to be dealt with, and it would be that his son would come and be the perfect sacrifice. Jesus would hang on a cross one time for all, his body broken, his blood shed. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And so he made a way. And that gift of salvation that he made is for anybody who will receive it. And there's only one way to receive it. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so here at church, we take the time just to say a simple prayer that lets you use words to say what you're feeling in your heart. So maybe there's one or two here today, you've not yet asked Christ to be your Savior, to come in and forgive you. You see, that's the beginning of a blessed, abundant life. It's calling on him. So we're going to do that right now. I'm going to ask you as a congregation to join me and repeat this prayer after me for that one or two that maybe has not done this. So if you'll just close your eyes and repeat this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me and rose again. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. I choose today to follow you. Amen.